Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective that serves 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. And speaking of Happy Valley United, they are well represented today on our show. We have with us Mike Villagrana. He is Executive Director of Football at the Happy Valley United Collective. And joining us for the first time, Rich Stankiewicz, Director of Operations at Happy Valley United. Rich, welcome to the show for the first time.
Nice to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely great to have you. See, Mike, you've become such a regular now, we just sort of ignore you when you come on. It's like everybody's already heard from you.
Yeah, exactly. I think people will enjoy that.
Well, while we got Rich in, first of all, Director of Operations, Happy Valley United, a Penn State letterman, class of 99, was it, Rich?
Yeah, 99. Yep.
Okay. Before the show's over, you know I'm going to be asking you about that season, right?
You can ask me anything you want. Actually, part of the it's interesting. Part of the way that season went is actually part of the reason that I'm here today. So it's a kind of an interesting little story.
Well, let's tie that in then. Let me first, your team, 99, 9-0.
Yep.
Ranked what? Number 2 in the country, undefeated. Headed towards that national championship. And then what happened, Rich?
Yeah, and then we played Minnesota. And we had a couple bad bounces and couldn't pull it out. That's the toughest game I've ever been involved in. And, you know, it kind of still stings today. Even, like, I'm very happy whenever we beat Minnesota.
Well, I'm sure it does. As a player, because as fans – I literally, Rich, yesterday was talking to a friend of mine, a fellow Penn Stater. I mentioned that you were going to be on the show today and that you were in the class of 99. And his first comment was, that is probably, as a fan, the toughest game I had to deal with.
Yep.
And for our listeners who are too young to remember it, I looked this up. It was essentially with a minute and a half left to go in the game, up 2 points. Minnesota had a 4th and 16, threw the ball downfield. They got tipped from one Minnesota player to another for the completion, then a last-second field goal to lose the game. Did I get that right, Rich?
I've partially blocked that out, but I believe it's accurate.
Well, what's interesting in talking to you today and along the NIL mode is, at that point, I've talked to another player on that team who just said, you're thinking you're headed towards the national championship. You lose that game. That essentially just set things in place to lose 3 games in a row. I'd like you just to compare the difference today's game versus then. If you lost today a game like that to Minnesota, you shrug your shoulders, you get back on the field, you win your next couple games, and you're in the playoffs, right?
That's 100% true. I mean, that, you know, I hate to say back in the day, but back in the day, like, one loss was the end, right? Especially in kind of that era of college football. There were a couple one-loss, you know, champions in there, but the way that we were lining up there with Florida State and everybody else playing that year, that one loss was a huge hit to our chances. And, you know, I agree with you. If we were in the playoff situation that we are today, we would have brushed off that one loss and just moved on, right? It wouldn't have been, you know, as massive a deal as it was. And I love the playoff system that's out today because it allows teams to grow. It allows teams to deal with injuries. It allows teams to deal with a freak play that happens in, you know, in one contest during the year. So it to me, it truly does kind of figure out who the best team is at the end of the season, which is like what everyone should be going for. It's not like, you know, did we beat up the most people at the beginning of the season and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It should be who is the best team at the end of the season. And I really think that's what the new playoff system gets at.
And I'm the last person in the world, Rich, who would ever, ever want to give Ohio State credit for anything. Okay. However, I think this past season was the perfect example of it. Ohio State, in the normal, even four-team playoff, they would not have made the playoffs with their two losses in the regular season. But was there any doubt by the end of the playoffs that they were absolutely the best team in the country?
No, and they are a very good example. I mean, they're an incredibly talented team. They shook off that loss, you know, because they knew they had the playoff, right? They shook off that loss and moved on. There was a very good chance that if it was the old school system, they might not have shaken it off. And a lot of players would have started looking for like, oh, you know, I'm going to get ready for going pro. I'm going to get ready for this. I'm going to get ready for that. But they knew they were still in it, right? And, you know, some teams come out some days, and Michigan just had everything going that day that they beat Ohio State. So, like, you know, hats off to Michigan for that game. But, you know, it's a credit to Ohio State that they recovered the way they did from that loss.
Okay, let's just stop giving Ohio State credit because it gives me agita, you know, to talk that way, Rich. So let's get back to your story. So you went through that 99 season, a very good team with some really good players on it, but you moved on to your career, which certainly shouldn't have led you to where you are today. How did that all happen that you end up director of operations at Happy Valley United?
Yeah, so I left school. I had a career in software, creating software for in the mortgage industry, working with the government, working in the Treasury Department, you know, doing the up on Capitol Hill, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of got to a point in my career was I was looking for a change, and you know, that's when NIL came up, and I volunteered working for Happy Valley United, which was formerly Lions Legacy Club, volunteered for 4 or 5 months. I just wanted to throw my hat in and help. And kind of the way that I even got introduced to NIL was I had a group of friends from Penn State that they were interested in doing an event that involved Penn State student athletes. So we basically snuck around the process and figured out a way to get in touch with Drew Aller's agent and Olu's agent. And we set up a meet and greet with a group of fans to just, you know, have questions, have a Q&A, you know, a meet and greet, that kind of thing, directly with those guys. And I kind of saw the process there, and I wanted to be involved in it too, because I wanted to make sure that we did right by the players too. I didn't want this to be a situation where the group of fans was like, oh, you know, $10 and we'll hang out with you for 3 hours. You know what I mean? Like this, I wanted it to be a real, you know, a real NIL type transaction. So that connected me with going through that process, connected me with Jen and Brad, who were working with Lions Legacy Club at the time. And kind of one thing led to the other. And I was like, I think I can help here. So I volunteered for 5 months. And then at the point in time when Success with Honor merged with Lions Legacy Club and became Happy Valley United, that was the point in time when, you know, through the transition of people involved and everything, I threw my hat in the ring and I said, you guys need someone to be director of operations here. And, you know, kind of my career in software was effectively director of operations for software. And it just changed from me getting on the phone at 6 a.m. and talking to developers in India and Vietnam to now I talk to football players and coaching staff. So it's a nice change for me professionally and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of really how I got into it. And then kind of like throwing back to us talking about like that 99 season of my time at Penn State, One of the big reasons that I was really interested in getting involved in NIL was one of my best friends at Penn State, Aaron Harris, the great running back that we had in school, had his knee injury, had a tough recovery from that knee injury. And honestly, Aaron missed out on millions of dollars in the pros because of his injury and the way that, you know, the way that he was, you know, able to recover from that and those kinds of things. And I, you know, I always felt leaving school how unfair that was, you know, to see this massive business machine built around football, you know, and having a teammate that got injured and missing out on his chance at like setting up his life because, you know, because of the situation that used to be. So that was a big part of me getting involved, was I wanted to make sure to try to do the best by the players to make sure that they were taken care of, because football is a brutal game and everyone knows that. And like the chance of the risk of injury and the time horizon that you have to, you know, to make money off of playing is so short that, you know, it puts a lot of kids in tough situations sometimes.
Well, a couple things there. Well put there, Rich, but you mentioned Aaron Harris, who was one of my all-time favorite players. What a tough runner he was.
So I had the good fortune of playing him all through high school, and then we played in the Big 33 game together, and then we came in the same class. So there's a big group of us that were kind of all this same set of people. I played a Scary Adams in high school. You know, a couple other guys. So, yeah, a bunch of us came in together.
I'm guessing you would much rather have Aaron Harris as a teammate than as an opponent. Just guessing.
Now, I'll agree with that. But the reason that I got seen by Penn State was me playing against Aaron Harris. So I owe him a big part of me coming to Penn State, because the Penn State coaches originally were coming to see him play a game and saw me play against Aaron. And that kind of really kicked off my recruitment with Penn State.
This is the point where you should be telling us how you owned him in high school. Right?
Unfortunately, I never beat Aaron Harris in high school. So, yeah, no, it didn't work out. They had some great teams. They went to the state finals against Brandon Short's McKeesport team and lost to them in the finals the one year. But, man, Downingtown was stacked. They had a lot of talent. We would give them our best shot every year, but we didn't manage. Well, we beat them afterwards, the year after Aaron and I left. I believe we won, but neither of us were involved in the
game. All right. Very good, Rich. I want to take us now into the whole NIL thing. We'll get Mike back into this. We'll do that right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective that serves 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. And we have two representatives from Happy Valley United with us today. We have Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Football. We have Rich Stankiewicz, Director of Operations. Appreciate both of you guys coming in. And Rich, how about you give us just a little preview of some of the events that are coming up with Happy Valley United.
Yeah, we have some great stuff coming up this summer, this late spring and summer. Three main things that I wanted to talk about. First is the football team is doing their annual Hershey Hospital visit to visit the kids in the children's wing of the hospital. They've been doing that. I'm not even sure how many years, but it's been James Franklin loves doing this with the team. All the guys go meet the kids, and we're doing a fundraiser to provide Penn State themed hospital gowns and stuffed lions for all of the players to give to the children that they visit. So we love people to go out to our website at happyvalleyunited.com, and you know, the more donations we can get to that, the more gowns and lions we can get to those kids during that this year and in the future, because I can't see any reason we would ever stop doing that, because it's such a great event.
Just
so that was number one.
Quick note before you get to the other ones. If you go online, they are very cool items.
The gowns are awesome. Yeah, the gowns are fantastic. They're the Penn State blue with the number one on them. It looks exactly like our colors and everything. You know, the kids love them. The lions, we always have this running joke. We call them the bears because they look like teddy bears, but they're teddy lions, basically. We got those sponsored this year. So it's fantastic that we can do both the gowns and the lions this year. Last year we were able to raise enough money to do the lions. So like going forward, we'd like to keep building this out, making it bigger, being able to do it for more kids.
Fantastic. We'll get to a couple of the other events a little bit later. Let's get back to you were talking, Rich, about your path to get to Happy Valley United, Penn State's NIL collective. Mike, you came from a very different route. Why don't you just give us the background how you got here? Because you were involved in the football world on coaching staffs, and eventually you got to this similar position as Rich.
Yeah, everybody kind of has their own story. Mine's definitely different. Playing at West Virginia University, after I was done playing, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I went to my coaches and asked if I could be a graduate assistant. So I was an academic graduate assistant for about a year and a half with the football team. And I basically was just a sponge, learning football, learning the other side of the game, and kind of fell in love with it. Then I got an opportunity to get my first coaching gig at Hampton University in Virginia. And I was there for the next 5 years coaching, and the number of roles I ended up being the offensive coordinator the last year for half the season, which was really cool. I was a special teams coordinator, tight ends coach, wide receivers coach, kind of did it all. But I loved it. I loved having a room with those guys, that relationship with them. I loved recruiting. That's where I really, really found a passion for when I started that career, going to these homes, building relationships with them. Every home's different. Every parent's different. You know, every situation is different. So, like, finding out about people, helping them out with, the opportunity that we had, that, you know, college football gives these kids and their families, is pretty special. But we ended up getting fired, like most people do, at Hampton. And then I ended up taking a year off, pivoting, didn't know what I wanted to do. Had my first kid, had Dominic. He's 10 now. And then Charles Huff, who's the head coach at Southern Mississippi now, we were always close. We worked together at Hampton, and then he tried getting me in as the quality control assistant for special teams underneath him at Penn State. I interviewed, I prepared my butt off for that interview, but I didn't get it. But I did a good enough job so that when the recruiting opportunity opened up, they reached out to me, and I said, heck, why not? I'd get my foot in the door, and then maybe I'll get back in coaching after a year. But then I ended up liking the recruiting side of things. This is when the staffs were probably just about to start blowing up. And I kind of like saw it happening, especially at bigger schools, just how big recruiting was and how many people that they really needed and resources. So I fell in love with that side of things under Andy Frank and Coach Franklin. I learned a lot of, you know, how I'm wired today. So then Coach Moorhead at that time when I was at Mississippi or at Penn State for 3 years, you know, he had an opportunity to go to Mississippi State. He asked me to run the recruiting department. And I did. And, you know, it was an awesome opportunity. I didn't want to leave Penn State, but it was really good growing opportunity for me for the next 3 years. Then 1 year under Leach, I talked to you about under the COVID year. And then I was the general manager for Coach Huff, reunited back with him when he was the head coach at Marshall. And then Coach Pryor called me, who I worked under when I was here the first time, when he got that head coaching job at Virginia Tech. So took that route. And then, you know, this past year, Coach Frank called me about this position and just where I am in my life right now. And with everything and priorities, you know, it just made sense. And, you know, already working for Coach Franklin, already knew what he was about. He's always stayed in touch with me. Just an awesome guy in this community, Penn State. It's special. Even though I didn't go here, you know, I grew up kind of like a Penn State, Ohio State. I was just a Big Ten guy. So I always loved Penn State. And well, so now I'm here.
Well, I find it interesting the two different paths that you guys took to get to, you know, Happy Valley United. And I'm going to start with Rich on this question. How many years now have you been with even Lions Legacy Club? How many years is it, Rich?
Between the volunteering and full time, I'm coming up on 2.5 years now.
Okay. 2.5 years in the world of collective, that's forever. It has changed over. How different is it today than it was when you started?
We haven't had a single month that was like the prior month for 2.5 years, effectively. You know, when I first came in, it was a free for all. I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, stuff going on all the time, but like there was an organization about it. People didn't even have any understanding of the rules. Everyone, when I first came in, everyone was scared to death of the rules, right? To the point that it was harming student athletes, right? Because they're so scared, they don't want to engage. You know, they would just stay out of it rather than even try to engage. So, you know, a lot of our early partners were some of the, you know, the people just willing to put their, you know, put their foot in the water and see what was there. And like, you know, West Shore Home from the beginning was just willing to step up amongst many other partners that we had in the early process. So that's, you know, education is still a huge part of this, you know, and letting everyone understand. And, you know, we see all the headlines. You know, there's a settlement coming up that is potentially going to change things in the July timeframe. And again, every time one of those things comes out, which seems like it's been every month or every other month for the last 2 years, we have to constantly be re-educating people on what that means. So that, to me, that's the biggest thing that's the one thing that has been consistent the entire time, is the need for education. The biggest change from kind of the beginning to where we are now is, you know, we really started out a very local fundraiser. You know what I mean? It was State College. It's, you know, who are the tried and true fans in State College, raise money with those businesses. And State College is kind of the cornerstone of our fundraising efforts. But we've grown, and my joke has been recently has been, we've grown into a real company at this point, right? It took us, you know, a while to get there. And, you know, there were bumps in the road, but, you know, we're having serious conversations with, you know, large national companies about fundraising and involving our athletes and sponsorship and, you know, creative opportunities and all of that kind of stuff. And our events have grown massively. You know, the Wendy Hoover's done an amazing job for us. You know, and I wasn't even at the very first We Are at the Shore event, but just seeing it grow from the second event to the third to what we have on deck coming this year, it's massive changes. You know, we're growing by 3 and 4 fold each year in the attendance at events. And Philly this year was triple the attendance or more probably close to four times the attendance of the first month or of the first event. So like that, those are the big changes is we've gone from just trying to get things started to now we're rolling along right now is, and trying to just pick up as many opportunities as we can.
And Mike, I think you are personally an example of one of the other changes, which is the collectives are now becoming a lot more closely associated with the athletic department itself. You came from that world.
Yeah, I think it's important, and Rich has seen it from the get-go, is that you have to have alignment from top down. And that's where we're at. That's where we're getting at, which, you know, Rich alluded to. To Rich and everybody's credit that was here first, is kind of like a Western movie. It seems like from the stories I've heard, just wild, wild west. Just everybody scrambling, trying to figure it out. Nobody knows like each other's lanes, and it's just, everybody was just trying to be aggressive. And like Rich said, you know, we're not perfect now, but there's alignment now. And now, you know, the important thing is just educating everybody, you know, the different types of opportunities through Penn State to donate it. And, you know, we're in a really good position right now, and it's clear what our lane is. And it's a really good opportunity for people that want to donate in different ways. You know, it's been great.
Fantastic. All right. We're out of time for quarter number two. When we come back, we'll continue that conversation. And I also want to ask you guys about the official visits from last weekend. Maybe talk about a few recruits. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective that serves 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. Our guests today are from Happy Valley United. We've got Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Football. We have Rich Stankiewicz, Director of Operations. And Rich, real quick, at the beginning of segment two, I had asked you about a couple of the upcoming events. I, of course, allowed you to get through one of them before I interrupted you. My apologies for that.
No worries.
Let's get back. You talked about the event at the Hershey Medical Center where the players visit the kids. Absolutely fantastic. I recommend go to happyvalleyunited.com. See the gowns, the Teddy Lions that you could contribute to help getting to the kids, which are fantastic. But you have a couple more events coming up, like at Pittsburgh and at the Shore. Could you give our listeners a quick rundown of those?
Yeah, so we're June 11th in Pittsburgh at Fox Chapel Golf Club. We're having a We Are in Pittsburgh event, our inaugural event in Pittsburgh. So we've done 2 years in Philly now. This is going to be our first year in Pittsburgh, kind of our starter year, getting our foot in the door, hoping to get a bunch of people out. Coach Franklin's going to be there. Pat Freiermuth is going to be there. A bunch of Penn Staters. Trace is going to be there. We're going to get some current players there as well. It's going to be a great event, similar to our Philly event, where it's just meet and greet with all of the people involved. We'll have an auction. There'll be drinks and food and just a great time. So we're really looking forward to having our kickoff in Pittsburgh. Should be a great event.
That's fantastic. Getting to both ends of the state, Philadelphia and out to Pittsburgh. All right. When we finished up, quarter number three, we were talking about the differences, the changes in the collectives. And Mike, I think Rich and I have been, of course, at Penn State here all along through the history of NIL and the collectives. And I think Penn State fans were a little bit tough on NIL. Okay. I think you could agree with that, Rich. It was really an education process. I feel like it's getting better among Penn State fans. You have a situation where you bring back a Drew Howler, a Nick Singleton, a Catron Allen, a Denai Dennis Sutton. That kind of smooths things out for fans. Okay, now I see why. What do you think the Penn State fans still need to know that they need to be educated about with the collective?
Well, with the collective, I think, and Rich, you chime in here, I think the big thing was, from my lens, is that we were asking for donations, you know, the 501c3 and tax write-off. So, you know, bigger donations and commitments from donors and supporters. So that was a big campaign for us, right, to drive money that way. Now it seems like, we've really evolved into, you know, these four different arms. You know, we're wanting to drive membership, right, but we want to drive membership and provide something to those members. So now we've partnered with State Media, yourself, and KSN, and to bring different types of media to these members, so they continue to be members, and we attract more members. And then, you know, obviously we have the events, and so we want to promote people to go to those events to raise money. It's a great time, like Rich talked about. You've been at them. But the big thing too is we want to create sponsorships, right? You know, corporate sponsorships through, you know, our media outlets that we have now as an asset. We want with these events to have these event sponsorships as well, right? So we're looking to help local companies around here to partner with us on some of these events. It's really a win-win with the company. So those are really our arms. We also are still providing merchandise. Rich was just out at Beaver Stadium the other day. We have some really cool things coming down the line. But those are really the four different things, right? And we're starting to tap into recruiting. And I think fans are going to be really excited about what we got coming down the line when it comes to recruiting and information and exclusive stuff and interviews. So yeah, that's where we're at now. And that's what we were educating, you know, me, Rich, Jamie, and Wendy, we're out at these events in the community, talking to Letterman, talking to fans. So it's just every day we're continuing to message to them, you know, this is who we are now. And it's about relationships too, right? Like getting to know these people, getting to know us. So that, like, Jim, this is a great platform for people to, you know, hear Rich, hear myself, and hear us. And hopefully when they see us, that they, you know, feel like they could come and talk to us. And I think that will go a long way when it comes to working with people.
Well, I especially like this idea, you coming on our show. We've done this and gotten great response already. We've been doing a couple of the video segments on some of the recruits coming in. Yeah, fantastic really stuff. Towards that end, I'm going to ask a couple questions. But first, before I go anywhere, you mentioned the merchandise. Some of those, the polo shirts, they're fantastic. They are very cool. And just as an aside, Mike, I like mine a little bit big, a size XL for me. Okay. Just
yeah. And to all that, like Rich has a big piece of that. You know, we have our new logo. I think it's on the hat, right, Rich? On
your hat. Yeah. I wore my hat even though I'm on radio. But
yeah. It's Rich Deals has a big hand in a lot of the merchandise stuff and the designs and all of that.
Yeah,
it's very cool. Jim, maybe I'm going to put the logo out on the podcast on the website. So go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, and Jim, just one of the biggest transitions probably in the last 2 years, and Mike touched on it. Like, we started out mainly engaging donors, right? Because so much of this was new. We hadn't had time to build up a lot of relationships. We're trying to compete against the biggest programs in the country, raise money. And honestly, in the big beginning, we did come off bluntly, basically, because it was just a blunt reach out to try to raise money, because there wasn't time to build the relationships that Mike was talking about, you know. And I feel like we're at a point now where we've built a lot of those relationships, and we are not involved in the process of asking donors now just for straight charitable donations. We want to have all of our engagement with our fans to have something that they get back for it, whether it be what comes from being a member, you know, whether they, the good time that they have an event, if it's a corporate sponsorship, like that they get ROI on their, you know, on their advertisement. If they have, we have athlete engagement at an event, we want them to meet the guys, get to know them, you know, and we also still, even though we don't have to, like we used to have to do charitable events, we do charitable events because it's the right thing to do. So we are still sending our athletes to charitable causes and helping with things like Hershey Hospital, because that's the right thing for us to do as Penn Staters, right? We could strictly look at this from just a fundraising perspective and, you know, maybe going to Hershey Hospital or maybe doing some other charitable event, working with that isn't the best return on investment for our money, but that's the best thing for us to do for the community and everyone else that's involved.
Which is great. That's still all part of the We Are Penn State exactly. Success with honor. Those are the words that we all grew up with as Penn Staters. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about some of the players because, again, Mike, you and I have talked about this for a long time since the start of this relationship, that you wanted to get more involved, use the media as a conduit to get information out that our listeners, fans may not get elsewhere. And as I mentioned, we've talked about a few of the players. Last week was a huge weekend for official visits. So I wanted to get this opportunity to ask you both about a few of these players. Mike, let's start with Joey O'Brien. He's a safety slash wide receiver, maybe. Out of LaSalle College High School in Philadelphia. I think he's listed as the number one player in Pennsylvania, Mike. He would be a tremendous get.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch him, he's just – you don't have to watch too much tape of him. He's a freak, right? Like, when you turn on tape, you only have to watch, like, one or two, three clips, and you know, yeah, this guy's a dude. Like, he's special. When you look at him, he looks kind of out of place because he's so tall. He's so long and athletic for how tall he is. Yeah, so he's special. You know, and coach and the staff did a really good job with him. You know, there's a couple of articles out there and quotes on him. You know, coach – you know, he means it when the top players in the state, he wants them to stay in the state. And now he has a proven record for that, right? So he's able to lie. He's able to put facts in front of Joey O'Brien and his family and say, hey, this is what I've done with the top prospects in the state since I've been here. So this I'm a proven track record here. So you go somewhere else. And this is another thing about a kid going out of state is, you know, especially with NIL, it means more to the fans when your in-state player stays in state, right? It means more. It means more to Coach Franklin and that in-state school because they have to get it right with that kid. Because if you don't get it right with them, then that's going to look bad on the high school coach or the JUCO or whatever previously school that he was at. So, and you got to go back to that school, you know, every year, multiple times. So it's important to make it work with that kid versus, you know, he goes out of state somewhere, maybe in California. It's not really that big of a deal if it doesn't work out with him. You know, how many times is California going to come to Pennsylvania for a kid, you know? So it's really important that, you know, we do our best to keep him in state. And I think Coach Franklin and the staff did a phenomenal job on making a hard decision for him.
Now, we just have a minute left here, Rich. I did want to ask you about – he's Joe O'Brien. He's from Philadelphia also. That's your home turf. How important is it to recruit well there?
Oh, I mean, it's super important. I mean, there's so much talent in that area. And, I mean, I wasn't as talented as, like, Aaron Harris and Clint Cease and the other guys to come in, like, my time frame. But, like, you know, they were – it's just – it's a hotbed of talent, and it's an area of talent that a lot of different programs fight over, right? It's not just – you know, it's not one of those, one of the areas that is just, you know, it's going to be 90% Penn State or something like along those lines. So, you know, that area of Philly, that area of South Jersey, just a ton of talent there and a ton of great football programs, great high school football programs in that area. So it's great to see us make progress there because, you know, again, throwback to my time, so many of the best players from Penn State stayed in, or from Pennsylvania went to Penn State. And it's great to see that be a focus because that just gives everybody yet another reason to root for the team.
All right, that's the final word for this segment. We got one more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 4, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective that serves 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. We have with us Mike Villagrana, Rich Stankiewicz. We are talking about some of the players who were at Penn State in Happy Valley for an official visit last weekend. We started talking Joey O'Brien, and it struck me, Mike, you were talking about Coach Franklin now has a history to present to players, to the best players. And Penn State's going to go back to those schools. We talked about this in between segments. LaSalle College High School, a pretty good player, Abdul Carter, went there also, correct?
Yep.
Number 3 pick in the NFL draft. That's some pretty good history to present to the next player coming out of there.
Yeah. I mean, just not bad. You look at all the players that have come to Penn State from Pennsylvania, you know, a lot of them have turned out well, you know, not just only if they've made an NFL, like there's a lot of guys you see come back at that Philly event that aren't in the NFL, but they're killing it in the corporate world, you know, because they were able to develop their skill set and work on their academics and get a good job out of Penn State.
Very good. All right, let's hit a couple of these other names. I'm curious about Dorian Barney. He's a cornerback out of Georgia who previously was committed to Alabama, 6'1", 180. And in fact, one of the services just recently put out their prediction that he would be making a Penn State commitment. Mike, what can you tell us about Dorian Barney?
Just an exciting guy. He's long. He's kind of fits the bill that Terry has built in that room. You know, my first time when I was here, the room was pretty, it was kind of all over the place when it comes to sizes and length. I think we were just looking for speed and athleticism, so best player available. But now, you know, they really kind of made it a thing to target length. And Dorian Barney is that he has length and he brings athleticism. And he's able to, you know, the number one thing that you want your DBs to be able to do is spot the ball, find the ball. And he's got that talent. He's able to find the ball. He's able to make a play. He's athletic. He's got long range, short range, really talented. And really all the corners that we're recruiting right now are really high end guys. And that's credit to Terry Smith and the job he's done since he's been at Penn State.
Well, in fact, there were a couple several defensive backs, if you count the safeties, also another cornerback. Speaking of length, Kerry Adams, he's out of Maryland. He's 6'2". So again, another guy who falls into that that length type player, right, Mike?
Yeah, he fits that mold perfectly, and he's right in our footprint. You know, right in Maryland, you know, a place that we're very familiar with. He's very familiar with us. So, you know, it's looking good with Adams. So, you know, coming down the pipe at the end of June, I think we're going to be pretty happy with the guys that we get committed.
Well, especially if you go along, the class looks pretty good already. and mm-hmm. with some of these prospects. And just I'll ask you this, Rich. What's the message that you think the Penn State coaching staff and the recruiting staff, what is it that they deliver about Penn State to say, okay, this is what makes us different at Penn State than everywhere else?
I think it's different. Collectively the entire program. When I see them at work, you know, some of these recruiting days, it just day in, day out. And you have a bunch of former players here as well. You know, AZ played here. He's instrumental in the recruiting department with Kenny and Slim and some of those other guys. It's huge when you see a guy that's played here and breathes and dies Penn State to talk Penn State and have success, and he's recruiting your son. That goes a long way, right? And when they come to Penn State, Coach Franklin is around a lot. You know, some of the videos that we show the recruits, like I've seen it 100 times, but every time I see it, I'm like, how do you not want to go to Penn State after watching these videos? Then hear Coach Franklin talk about the program, talk about, you know, the vision that he has for the student athletes there. It's just different, especially when you have everybody aligned in the program. It's pretty special when you see all those people working together.
Rich, as a letterman yourself and seeing so many lettermen that are part of the staff, what's the unique message that a letterman could deliver to a recruit about here's what makes Happy Valley unique and special?
Well, and here's the thing. It's not only the letterman being a part of the staff. We have lettermen that are board of trustees members. We have lettermen that are involved in the school. We have lettermen all sending their kids back to Penn State. So Anthony King and Courtney Brown, who I both played with last year, I believe both of their sons enrolled together at Penn State and were roommates at Penn State.
Oh, wow.
So like that, to me, that speaks, Penn State is the whole package, right? And the players that come and play here and play out their careers, they want to be involved. Like we have so many guys that are coming back to Mike Motti being involved. You know, Trace McSorley just got hired. We have everyone coming back to try to throw their hat in the ring and help. And that, you know, if Penn State wasn't special in that way, that wouldn't be happening, right? It would be much more transactional. Like I know Coach likes to say he wants this to be transformational more than transactional. Like that's exactly what Penn State is. I'm a prime example. Like I came here for football. Football didn't work out for me in the long run, you know, for playing pro or anything like that. But Penn State set me up to be successful for the rest of my life. It's where I met my wife, you know, like all of these things that you know, makes Penn State special, and the fan base involvement and the passion of the fan base and the realization that this isn't just football. This is the rest of your life that we're talking about, right? This is the launching platform for the rest of your life. So, you know, I came into this and I wanted to, you know, I want to help create the next, be a part of the next Spice Adams, right? Or the next Brandon Short, or the next, you know, of all of these guys that we have come through and have been good players for us, and some of them great players for us, but also be people that like change the world beyond just football, right? And go out and make a difference in people's lives.
All right, let's get back to some of the newer names, the recruits, the people who visited last week, Mike. Another Jordan Dex, 6'1", 190-pound safety, another defensive back trying to pull him in from the state of Texas. I'm sure there's a lot of competition for a guy out of Texas, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. But again, it's credit to Terry. He's got a proven track record with his DBs and the development of them. So he's able to go national if he feels the need to. And if there's a connection, you know, nationally, you know, whether the parent went to Penn State or there's some type of connection and it makes sense, then Terry's going to attack it and be aggressive. And, you know, once you meet Terry and you combine that with Coach Franklin and the Penn State brand, you get him to on campus, and then you never know what will happen. And that's what's going on here. You know, got Jordan interested, came on campus, and it was blown away.
And it's interesting to me that almost to a man, you start hearing the quotes from these players after a visit, whether they ultimately end up at Penn State or not, Rich, an impression is made when they come to State College.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, it's real town college life, right? You know, it's a very cool experience to be at Penn State and to have the community there and to you know, connect that with the way that Coach Franklin runs the program, that it isn't transactional, that he, you know, it is a family. Like we are looking out for each other beyond, you know, are you good at football, right? And there are things outside of that that are important.
The other part of this, Mike, and you and I kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday. I was in State College and we had a breakfast together. It seems there's always a meal involved when you and I get together, Mike. But anyway, is that we talked about NIL, the collectives. It was the Wild West in the beginning. Things seem to be settling down a bit, but also from the player standpoint, it seems like there are more players now who are aware that there's more to this than just how much money you make. As Rich talked about, it's like preparing yourself for a career that may or may not include football. It appears that the players are starting to get a little more sophisticated in their decision making.
Yeah, and I think that's only going to become better and strengthened through time, you know, because during the recruiting process now, that's a big piece, right, to educate the parents and the kids about what our process looks like, what NIL is, what resources that we're going to be able to provide to their son when it comes to financial literacy, when it comes to taxes, when it comes to our platform, when it comes to payments and whatnot, community outreach, deliverables, things like that on the front end. We're able to be transparent and educate them and articulate exactly what it looks like here at Penn State. So then when they get here, it's not as a big a surprise when we're asking them to do XYZ from an NIL collective perspective.
And you do have, this goes all the way back to Joe Paterno, right, Rich? You don't just recruit the player, you recruit the family.
Yeah, you recruit the player, you recruit the family for sure. And, you know, you're looking for the guys that are committed to getting better. Like, look, with you want players with the longer view, right? That they're not just going for a money grab, you know, the brown bag back in my day, right? They're not looking for sometimes the briefcase, you know, depending on how good the player was. So, you know, it's just so massively different now that it isn't how we were kind of trapped in the past, that it was us without a bag versus the bag, right? So now we can at least set we can compete with all of these schools and we can be on, you know, a similar baseline as everyone else that's out there going after guys, so that the money doesn't end up the final decision.
Exactly. So much more to it. Guys, this hour went really fast. Thank you both. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.